and welcome, everybody. Ray Adams here for Great American Golf, your caddy for the show. How you doing, folks? So glad you tuned in today. What a wonderful and beautiful day we're having here in Phoenix, Arizona. I hope you're having a wonderful and fantastic Saturday yourself. I know there's weather around the country in different places. I've talked to different people in different cities this week, and some of them are having some nice weather for golf, and others are struggling with some snow and ice and all of that. We're going to be joined by Dr. Bob Denny here in just a moment. Craig Renshaw is teaching, so he may or may not be able to join us. He is going to try. And I want to tell you a little bit later in the show today, I'm going to give you a piece of golf history. That's right. John Ashworth from the Ashworth Golf Apparel Company is joining me. And I'm telling you, it's an interview for the ages. He tells you where he started when he was so young. He goes through the history of how he was friends with Mark Wiebe, caddied for Mark. Ashworth went to U of A here in Arizona, and on it goes to where he starts the company with a partner. And then from there, all the things that happened over the years, and then how it sort of got faded away with it when Adidas came on board, and then how it came back. And now it's back and back big. The golf man is alive, and Ashworth Golf Apparel is alive as well and doing so fantastic. You'll hear that interview a little bit later in the show, but we want to get started right now. Look, you know, a lot of people lose their golf clubs. Thousands lose them every week on golf courses. Most never make it back to the owners. And pro shops at golf courses take the hit of labor, time, and a lot of frustrated golfers. But that is exactly why Owen Quinn Found It Golf. He started Found It Golf, and that's at figolf.com. And his company is in my holiday gift guide going out to tens upon tens of thousands of golfers right now. You should be getting it in your email inbox. If you want to get my holiday gift guide, you've got to write to me, golfadams@msn.com. golfadams@msn.com. And I'll make sure you get on the list of over 200,000 golfers, men, women, all different sorts of golfers all over the country. So at Found It Golf, he went ahead and built a simple private QR code recovery system, and it helps you golfers get your clubs back almost instantly, and it's without putting your name or phone number on the shaft. It's a sticker that goes on the end of the golf club, and then there's a little bit of a subscription, and I'll tell you right now, golfers, courses love it because it's zero cost. There's a 50-50 revenue share of every QR that's sold. It's an extra profit center for the golf course, and it improves the golfer's experience overnight, and it reduces those lost and found golf club headaches for the staff. It's privacy, no names or numbers on the clubs. You make sure, folks, you go to figolf.com. I wanted to give them a special shout out, and I will go through in just a wee bit my gift guide, my holiday gift guide. But right now I want to get the show started with Dr. Bob Denny. Dr. Bob, welcome to Great American Golf. How you doing, pal?
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Well, there's loads to talk about. Golf still is flourishing all over the world. We've got the Hero World Challenge happening, and you'll tell us a little bit. We'll look at that leaderboard. The Skechers event's going on, Champions Tour event. The Ned Bank is going on all the way over in South Africa, and the ladies are going to the Tiburon again, and we'll talk about all of that. But let me kick it off. PGA Tour, that's the Hero World Challenge. We'll look at that leaderboard, but they've released the Player of the Year and the Rookie of the Year nominations. Take me through it.
Well, the Player of the Year nominees are Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Ben Griffin, and Tommy Fleetwood. If this was the PGA of America discussion, it would be cut and dried because it's always been a point system based on strict requirements. With two major championships, Scottie Scheffler would win it automatically. Rory be second, and then those that follow in after that. But it is not a strict cut and dried. It is a player vote, and that's right. Why it's sometimes interesting.
Okay, you know, you look at Scheffler and McIlroy, And this is voted on by their peers, correct?
That's right.
Do you think that there's any way that because Rory completed the career Grand Slam that he might any way outdo Scotty?
It's happened in the past in different ways, and Sam Snead could tell you how much fun it was in 1950 when he won eight events, and Ben Hogan won two or three, and it came off a automobile accident, and he got the vote of the popularity. And Sam will never forget that. One of Sam's greatest years, Ben Hogan wins it.
Well, but look what happened with Ben Hogan. I mean, I don't know how you could argue that one. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go way out on a limb, far away out there where you could fall off and say that Scottie Scheffler will win it. What about you?
Scotty Scheffler's my vote.
We'll see what happens. Career Grand Slam
How
after
about the
all those
rookies?
years. After all those years, tell me about the Rookies of the Year nominees.
Each of the rookies have won an event. Some of them are the missing persons report for some of those that people don't know. Aldrich Potgieter of South Africa, Michael Brennan, Stephen Fisk, William Mao, MOUW, and Carl Phillips have all won events, but Potgieter won the Rocket Mortgage and was the only one of the bunch to get into the playoffs.
Well, I've got to believe that it'll be Potgieter. I'm going to go out on a limb again and say for him.
Okay.
All right, Rookie of the Year, Player of the Year, and when are we going to know? When do they vote on those?
It usually be next week. It sort of coalesce in times with some of the major events happening around the country, including the college football playoffs. So they don't like to get overshadowed, but they kind of wedge it in.
But they likely will. All right, very good. All right, let's have a look at the hero. What do you make of it?
Well, it's a very interesting golf course. It to me, it's got a little bit of touch of Kew Island in it. It's got a lot of a little Pinehurst built into it as well. Only it's in the Bahamas, and I know that some of the players don't like some parts of it. Other people think it's great. Scottie Scheffler was rusty; he had a double bogey in his second round and a bogey, and he's only one stroke from the lead. He's been off for 2 months, so that's how good Scottie Scheffler is. And he is. Here's a little statistic about Scottie. He's had 15 consecutive events where he's finished eighth or better. He's in the Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus categories when you get into that level. And that's how good a ball striker he is. And it's been
Unbelievable.
well documented. So five people tied at 10 under, including Wyndham Clark, Pat, let's see, who's get a new swing coach from Cherry Hills underneath his belt. JJ Spahn and Matsuyama are in there. And I think either one of those could be good, but this is the kind of tournament where Matsuyama, he had an off year. We'll say that for Matsuyama. He's a very good short game, and I think that's one of the ways reasons why he might have a chance on the weekend.
So, with Scottie Scheffler sitting there, can he win it?
Yeah, he missed four aways in 2 days, and one of them hit a leaf or a bush when he actually hit a pure shot out of a waist area. I think he has all the ability. If he's putting even close to moderate, he has a chance.
Okay. I don't know. Cameron Young is such a great player, and we expected, I think, a lot more out of him. JJ Spahn, our U.S. Open winner, Bhatia had a lead. Matsuyama is always there. Wyndham Clark has made some changes, and he is very excited about those changes and feels like his 2026 is going to be a different year. So, hey, let's look at Wyndham Clark. I'm looking to interview him for television. My understanding is he lives right here. And in the Phoenix area. So Sepp Straka, my buddy, is right there. He was up there in second place, shot the 69. So you've got to go low on this golf course. This is a go low event to thrill the viewers and the fans. And that's the way it's set up. Any word out of Tiger Woods through all of this?
Other than just the fact that he's I the best way I can answer that is Tiger thinks he's got a little bit a chance to recover and some things, but I go back to Dr. Lanny, who's been on this program many times, and I believe Dr. Lanny has it correct that when you have a sense of mobility after an operation like that for his spine, you're only looking for quality of life and quality of movement. You're not looking to get back to where you were in the past. And I'm going with Dr. Lanny on this.
Well, and I am too, from an orthopedic medical standpoint. He's an expert. He's never diagnosed or anything with Tiger Woods, but he's talking in general terms about these sorts of surgeries, injuries and surgeries over the years and what it does to a body. Now, we're talking about regular bodies or even regular professional athletes. They don't compare with a Tiger Woods and his physique and his work ethic and his body and his obviously course management, golf skills, things like that. So, if there ever was anybody to come back, and I said this a number of years ago, it would be Tiger Woods, but I'm wondering how his comeback would be, what it would look like in that, not being able to be out there week in and week out competing. Not being able to be out there and face the new competition that's out there, the young, but these young lions that are out there. And Tiger, at that age, with the injuries, I don't see it, Dr. Lanny. I just don't see it. So we will see. What's your prediction on the hero?
Well, like I said, I think Masayama has his ability to play his way into the weekend, and he's such a great short game
He's on a
that that
roll.
golf course has some really nasty swales, and unless you're really sharp with that the chipping you on how to stop the ball and let it run up, that's one thing I've been watching a lot of those shots, and this is accentuated swales. That's what I'm looking at. As a layman, I'm watching that. Obviously, if Craig was on the program, he'd make a little different adjustment and thoughts about it. But I like Matsuyama and Scheffler as my 1A, 1B.
About as windy as it could be. Cam Young, though, going into the weekend here, shooting the 64 last yesterday evening, finishing out. I like him a lot to win this golf tournament. Let's see what happens. It's going to be a lot of fun. Little member guest action there at the that's a, it's a beautiful place. It truly is. So the Hero World Challenge going on with the PGA Tour. How about the Nedbank way over in South Africa honoring Gary Player, and they're playing on the Gary Player golf course. What about this Nedbank golf tournament?
It's in the beautiful Sun City. It's been a it's one of the popular stops for many people that can make that trip. I've always found it that's one of the places in the world I like to go before I pass. I think that would be one of the great opportunities, and it's happening. Let's see. I'm trying to get our leaderboard here for you.
Well,
And
go ahead.
okay. And there we go. And a gentleman by the name of Christopher Reitan from I don't know the gentleman very well, but Christian Bezuidenhout, I've heard of him before in South
Oh, of
Africa.
course,
He's
he's a very, very prominent player. He's a
Yes,
he's not a
yes.
household name, but he's a name that a lot of
Right.
fans know. Christian Bezuidenhout
Bezuidenhout, right.
has played here over in America.
Tied for 10th of Victor Hovland.
And yes, there are some names here, folks. It's worthwhile.
Yes.
Andy Sullivan from England is there. He's a known player. Here's Garrick Higgo, another South African that we know. We've watched him and talked about him before. And then Victor Hovland, of course, probably the most prominent name anywhere on this leaderboard. But a lot of fun to watch the
Yeah.
Nedbank. Francesco Molinari is there. Here's Aldridge Potgieter playing in his South African home country. So
And further down the line, Will Zalatoris. And I have a place on my heart for Will.
I do too.
I just hope he could recover from the injuries he's had because he was a force for a while.
How many majors did he contend in and
Wow.
nearly won? How many we could go back? I love the game of Will Zalatoris. I'm sorry for his injuries, but I can tell you now, I don't think he's done. There's Laurie Canter from England. Now, he played at LIV Golf, and then he paid his fines, Bob, and you can tell us further from there to go back to the DP World. And then he's recently re-signed with LIV. How about it?
If you pay the fines, the DP World Tour will welcome you with open golden arms. That's the thing is it's a real they will not bend because they can't bend. That the future of DP World Tour relies upon its be able to gather the fields that they want, and if they're going to deal
Well,
with
and
live,
for the
right.
sponsors too.
They can't deal with that, so they have to maintain that. And this is going to become a big story throughout the year, especially with Jon Rahm and
Yeah.
Tyrrell Hatton. So it's going to be a big part in golf stories and reports, and everybody's going to be asking that question everywhere they go.
All right, let's move our attention over to the LPGA. They're back at Tiburon. What are they doing over there?
Well, next week they have the Grant Thornton Invitational, which is a two-player, two tour team event, and one of the top, leading off the top is Charlie Hull with Daniel Berger. They're one of the top twosomes, and Lydia Ko is there with Jason Day, and last year it was Patty Tavatinicat, I guess how you
You
pronounce
got
it,
it, Tabby. Yeah, you got it.
with Jake Knapp. And they are back, so it's a fun event. And in the old days, we had the Wendy's Ch Tour Challenge on the PGA Tour. Well, this is sort of bringing the two together, and there's a great teamwork. You see that for charity, and Tiburon must be really enjoying it because they've become the centerpiece for golf in Florida now for the last few months, and they're doing pretty well for tourism over there.
All right, the Crown. Well, we'll be watching that this weekend. Listen, folks, there's a lot of golf out there and some great golf with the Hero going on, the Ned Bank going on, the LPGA's down there at Tiburon, great pairings down there. And then we have the Crown Australian Open going on. Bob, did you have a look at that?
Yes. And I was just looking at one of the tail end shots on Friday for Rory, and he didn't have too many good shots. He was in at two under, so he's seven back, tied for 41st. Adam Scott playing very sharp. Seven under, only two strokes back of Rasmus Nygaard Pedersen, Denmark, and Daniel Rodriguez, Portugal, and Min Woo Lee. I'm trying to spit that one out. And
Minwoo Lee.
Min Woo Lee.
Now
And he's.
he is the brother of a prominent LPGA tour player. Maybe a lot of the folks don't know.
Minji Lee.
Minji Lee, great player
Right.
on the LPGA tour, wonderful player.
Top brother sister combination in the world right now. That too.
Absolutely. Minwoo Lee, Adam Scott from Australia, of course. Adam Scott, so many years playing on the PGA Tour and, well, playing all over the world. He's been one of my favorites since the day he came out. And here's Cam Smith. Cam Smith is an open champion. He then surprised everybody and went over to LIV. But here he is playing in the Australian Open. He is an Australian himself. He's one of my favorite players over the last 10 or so years. Cam Smith, and I always like watching him play. Boy, can he! I watched him tee off the other day. His poise over the ball, and then the way he comes through the ball, his stability, his balance, and the speed is his speed is just stunning. And then he just hits it like a rocket down the fairway. I just love watching Cam Smith play. And I hope one day we can see Cam Smith and some of these other great LIV players back on the PGA Tour and playing. And by the way, a question came in from one of the listeners, Bob, because we talked about Laurie Canter paying the fine. And you said, well, if anybody pays the fine, they can get back on the DP Tour. Do you have any idea what that fine is that they have to pay?
I haven't seen it spelled out, but it's in the millions.
Is it
I,
really?
yeah, oh yes, oh yes, it's
Oh,
over
wow.
$1 million, and yeah, that's one of the big sticky points. So, but
Well, I he.
they set those rules out way in advance, and it wasn't just a surprise.
Well, they're making so much money on LIV that I'm sure they have it in the bank. Then they figured they'll go back and get official world golf ranking points. And now he decides to go back to LIV. He was recruited to go back. I'm sure that was a multi-zillion dollar signing to go back since he'd already been there. So, all right, well, let's see what happens in Australia down under.
And one other thing about the fines is LIV is not to the point now where they want to keep paying fines. LIV Golf does not want to do that.
Well, I don't blame them. Look what they're paying. I mean, look at the purses. Look at the signing bonuses. You know, you're looking into the tens of millions for many of the players. You're looking into the hundreds of millions for some of them.
I just wonder if our listeners could comprehend paying $1 million fine.
Well, if they
Now
have 10 or $15 million in the bank, they could. Most don't, of course. I'm sure 90%.
that's a hit. That's a hit.
A major hit. I don't care if you have 100 million in the bank. No one wants to pay that. But he did. So apparently he had enough that it didn't bother him. He didn't blink. He paid his fine. He played, but now he's gone back. And I wonder what that signing bonus is that I'm sure covered that fine that he paid before. So we're not going to worry about that. The Crown Australian Open is going on. They're playing in Melbourne. And, Rory McIlroy opened his mouth this week and had a little few words to say about Royal Melbourne and something about Bob that he didn't think it was the best course in the area to play. Did I hear that?
He touched him the wrong way, and that he basically he just said it was he took on he just says in his opinion it wasn't as iconic as the people made out to be. That's what he that essentially I'm just sort of summarizing it basically that way.
Okay, Rory, don't say stuff like that. All right. Don't say stuff like that, Rory, because otherwise you're going to have to star in my very, you'll have to be my guest and star in my very special stupid golf segment. Now, I'm not going to do that, but come on, Rory. And of
In
course, this,
nineteen in
go
1990,
ahead.
Ray, I was in Australia, working as a reporter for basketball, and I got to see Royal Melbourne. And at that time, that's way back, and back then it looked just as great as ever to me. And I played some golf in
Well,
Australia, but that one was I thought it was just in tremendous shape.
what was the sand like?
I didn't really worry about the sand. I was talking about actually the quality of I was learning metrics versus yards, meters versus yards, and I was always looking at the putting surfaces trying to understand that.
Rory McIlroy is sitting there, way, way, way down the line. So we've got players that are not only beating up on him at this point, but I'm sure he's struggling with the golf course. So, you know what? You know, if you don't like the course and you don't think it's the best venue, maybe the powers that be of golf have said, all right, Rory, go over there and stand over there. We'll call you when we need you. But right now, he's not a contender anyway.
I'm
But I'm
just
a
one
big Rory fan.
I'm just wondering if he's getting paid from Kingston Heath, because he said that was a great course in his mind, and he didn't think Royal Melbourne was the best course in the city of Melbourne.
All right. Well, we'll find out where he finishes and the golf course, and we'll probably get its, revenge on comments like that. All right, whatever. The LPGA, we talked about being in Tiburon down in Naples again. We've talked about the Crown Australian Open, and I want to talk about this wonderful event from the PGA Tour Champions, and of course, it benefits such a great cause. And I'm talking about the Skechers World Champion Cup. So let's talk about the World Champions Cup, sponsored by Skechers. And by the way, I very rarely say sponsors' names because they're not paying me. But I will tell you that I wear Skechers. My wife wears Skechers. Millions do, of course. But I love my Skechers shoes, and there may be a surprise in the future. And we'll just leave it at that. So I am saying Skechers World Champions Cup, and this is from the PGA Tour Champions. There are three teams. a USA team captained by Jim Furyk. The international team is captained by, is that Mike Weir, Bob?
Yes.
And then the European team is captained by, you tell me,
Darren Clark.
Darren Clark. Let's take off. Where are we at?
Well,
By the way, folks, people have asked me and sent me text messages and emails this week. How do I watch it? Here we go. Another confusion. And Craig brings this up a lot when he's on. It's difficult to find golf on TV. And that's
okay.
part of the problem why viewership slumped there for a while. I had to search around for it myself, and I found it on ESPN Plus. And
Right.
then it goes over to ESPN.
ABC on
And
Sunday.
finally, on Sunday, tomorrow, it will be on ABC from 1 to 5 Eastern Standard Time, folks. Eastern Standard Time from 1 to 5 on ABC tomorrow. So let's, where are we at? Where's the standings here?
Well, it's how about this? The highest point gatherers on the first day on Friday was Jason Kerin and Stewart Cink. How about that?
There we go. And Jason Kern was just on this radio show last week.
11.5 points over, trailed by two teams, Thomas Bjorn and Darren Clark, and Jerry Kelly and Steve Flesch. Right behind him at 7.5 is Wei Yang, who beat Tiger at Hazeltine, as people may remember. And Mr. Wei from Korea is with him. See Wei. I don't know his first name in front of me. I'm sorry. But the United States is doing very well. Right now, the Europe has a 109.5 total team lead by 1 point over the United States. But it's great to see Jason Kerin and Stewart blending well, which is great. I'm sure Jason's probably saying this is one of the great moments for him and his in his career is playing with these guys and getting that opportunity to play in this field. I like this field, Ray, for one reason. It's blending international, Europe, and the United States. I'm
Well,
glad to see that happening.
I am too. I really am. And I love that it's a PGA Tour Champions event. What I love is, like you just said, you have the Ryder Cup, and then you have, which is, Europe versus USA. Then you have the President's Cup, which allows international players in, of course. But this one is such a great event because you do have international players, you've got the USA players, and you have the European players. And I just think this is a great way to showcase all the different great PGA Tour champions players from around the world, as well as the three-team concept, kind of the different way that they play it. It's a Ryder Cup sort of format. The Sunday tomorrow will be singles, so we got to tune in and watch that one. And you've got a great sponsor with Skechers. But Bob, the most important thing to me, the number one most important thing, as fun as this is, I think it's going to be great TV golf, players having fun, good time for them. But the beneficiary, Bob, talk about it.
Shriners Children's Hospital, and it never gets any better than that. Obviously, the St. Jude's in the same category for me. When I think about those things, helping children and their families, it's incredible amount of help that they can get through the right channels, which is, of course, in the world of golf, is always been blessed to be able to have that charitable arm.
Absolutely. Well, golf has always had it. You think of golf, you think of the billions and billions that the PGA Tour over the course of their history has left behind in all the cities, and they continue to do that. The LPGA Tour does it. I believe the DP World does it as well. The PGA Tour Champions does it. I mean, all of golf, professional golf, leaves loads of money behind in the communities for nonprofit organizations, and many, of course, of which are for children. And it's just golf and charity go together historically, Bob. Take
Right,
off.
right. There's one other group I hesitated. I made a little bit of an error on when I gave you the report. KJ Choi and Angel Cabrera got together for the internationals. They're a half a point ahead of Stewart and Jason Kerin. So battle that's going to be. But this is the sixsomes today. They played in sixsomes, 9 holes, and that makes a unique battle between the twosome. And like you said, they go into the Ryder Cup format we think about for the weekend. But the best thing I've always noticed is these guys, I don't know how it is. They can adapt under almost any circumstance. They've had so many veterans over the years that have played. Jim Furyk's a captain for the American team. Darren Clark's a captain for the European team, you know. And of course, Mike Weir is a captain for the internationals. Every one of these players has been through the wars. They have been able to adapt to it, and that's what's impressive to watch. And they still are really well engaged so well with spectators.
All right, Bob, this has been a great one. I know it's a little bit short for our time together, but I have an amazing guest when we return in John Ashworth from Ashworth Golf Apparel. Before John, though, folks, I want to let you in on, if you want to be in my gift guides, if you want to be on my mailing list, email mailing list throughout the year, you've got to write to me, golfadams@msn.com. I want to thank Tour Edge Golf Clubs at touredge.com, Squares Golf Shoes at squares.com, the unbelievable new golf towel. You've got to go there and find this golf towel. The golf puck is there, Pure One. Fabulous training aid. It's a golf club fully weighted and will give you instant, immediate results at Pure One Golf. And then CertaFresh Cigar, longtime sponsor of mine. 3,000 golf shops. If you're a golf shop or a nonprofit organization or a corporate outing, you've got to go to CertaFreshCigar.com and order yours. They're in the holiday gift guide. Dr. Gavin Rutledge is a world renowned lower back and sciatic nerve expert, and he can help you with problems that you have in those areas. All golfers, any ages, it doesn't matter. Dr. Gavin Rutledge, and then the Tally Tumbler, tallytumbler.com. Ashworth, I've already spoken about them, and there's going to be more to come with John Ashworth in a moment at Ashworth Golf. .com. The Legacy Golf Resort right here in Phoenix, Arizona, world champions, championship golf courses. It's just fabulous golf in the Phoenix area, view of the South Mountain, many different things going on at the Legacy Golf Resort. You get your Trail Pass membership there at golflegacyresort.com. And then I've already spoken to you about Found It Golf to help you find your golf clubs at figolf.com. All right, folks, I'm going to be back in just a moment. But before I'm back, listen to these very important messages, please. We'll be back in a moment with a classic interview, a classic.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic T-holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for a great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
All right, folks, welcome back to Great American Golf. And I'm telling you, I'm so excited to introduce John Ashworth. And he is, well, let's this interview. He's going to be welcomed in just a moment. All right, folks, welcome back. And I've got to tell you that I'm introducing here one of the nicest persons I've worked with and met. And I owe him a debt of gratitude because he created something many long years ago that you know and I know. He created Ashworth Golf. And I'm talking to John Ashworth right now. John, welcome to the show. And thank you so much for joining today. I know you have a full plate of schedule, but we're going to talk about some interesting things and fun things, folks, with John Ashworth. Welcome.
Thanks, Ray. It's nice to be here. Appreciate it.
Well, I've been wearing Ashworth apparel now for, oh goodness, well over a year. And everywhere I go, John, people compliment me. And they do ask one question, and they say, many of them ask this question, and they say, oh, is Ashworth back? And I say, of course it's back, and it's back in a big way. And then I have a several, once in a while, I'll carry four or five of the little Ashworth Golf Man medallions with me. If I'm going to a specific event or something, or if I'm recording my golf television show, Match Play with Ray Adams, I'll have a few on me. And when people say, what about Ashworth? I'll say, well, here, the golf man is back. Use this. So let's start by talking about you, John, and a little bit of your history and Ashworth Golf. I mean, if you went to a golf event, a nonprofit golf tournament, if you went really any golf shop in America, in kind of way back years ago, I know when I played in charity events, your swag included an Ashworth golf shirt about 80% of the time. So let's go back to the beginning, John. Tell me about you and creating Ashworth golf apparel.
It all started back in the late 80s, well, the mid 80s really. I was kind of fresh out of college, and I was kicking around. I got my degree in agronomy. I played golf at University of Arizona on the golf team, but I was kind of middle of the pack. I knew I didn't have the right stuff to be on the tour. I mean, I was a scratch golfer at the time, but that's a whole nother level. So I had a good buddy that was good enough. I don't know if you remember the name Mark Wiebe.
Oh, of course, we remember Mark Wiebe.
Yeah, so Mark and I grew up together in Escondido, a little town out here, Southern California, and I was kind of not, I didn't have a lot of direction. I was in my, early 20s, and he was trying to make the tour, and he said, "Hey, why don't you come out and caddy for me in the mini tours, and then I'm going to try to go get my card, through tour school." And he could pay me enough to barely survive, which was nice. And then I thought that sounded like a really fun idea, so I said, "Sure, let's do it." And of course, we went through the sectionals and the regionals, and first stage, second stage, and then made it to the finals at TPC Sawgrass. And he got his card. He finished probably, I think, 20th or something, and got his card. This is probably 1984. And so I thought, money wasn't that big back then, but I thought I'm going to do this for a year and then I'll get my life started and figure out what I'm going to do. So I went out and caddied for him his rookie season. And I mean, again, I was pretty much living out of my car most of the time, but had a ball. It was like being with a circus, It's like a new town every week, and get to rub elbows and see all the great players inside the ropes and all that stuff. So, but the fortuitous thing was his sponsor at the time was a guy named Jerry Montiel, and so Jerry and I became friends. And when I was done that year, Jerry asked me to come work for him, and he was opening up a sporting goods store in Denver, Colorado, and I said, "Sure." So I moved out there, and I was a buyer and a manager, and I bought all the golf stuff and all the tennis stuff, and so I got to see that side of the, that side of the business. And got familiar with all the companies and everything, and merchandising and selling and all that stuff. And then, but after a couple of year, about a year and a half, the economy, I don't, you probably don't remember this, but 1985, it was 1985, 86, it was pretty dismal, the economy and tough times. And he decided to close up shop. And he said, well, if you help me close up, he had two stores. He helped me close these stores up and liquidate the merchandise and all that stuff, then we'll start another business. He was very entrepreneurial, good business guy.
Yeah.
And we got along really good. So I said, sure, absolutely. So once we got through that process, he said, well, if you could do anything, what would you do? And I said, well, I've been seeing all this golf stuff and I've been playing in college. I never really liked the golf apparel at the time. It was just not my style. I would actually wear other retail brands to play golf because I just didn't like the quote unquote golf clothes at the time.
Yeah,
It was really.
if you look at the old films of the players, we always compare then and today modern times, and that's not really fair, but you're right, they were kind of frumpy.
It was the late 60s, early, it was the 70s, it was the 70s and early 80s. And it was a totally different industry back then. It was, none of the big players, Nike, Adidas, Polo, none of the brands today were around back then.
Yeah.
And, it was like La Mode de Golf and Arius, and they were just, it was really kind of a little bit too granimal polyester, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I remember everything.
Anyway, I
I mean,
told
I
him,
was
and I
very, very young and just barely getting going, but yeah.
So I said, look, at the time I'm 26 years old, right? And I said, well, like I would like to do my own clothing line and make it kind of hip and cool and stuff that I want to wear and stuff that translates way better off the golf course. You don't look like you're a golf goober when you,
A
leave
golf, I'm writing that down, folks. A
the
golf goober.
you want so he said, bingo. He goes, I like that idea. This sounds good. And kind of off we went. And I didn't know anything about making clothes, and neither did he. So he was gonna, kind of be the business guy, raise the money, and we cobbled together some money, and I moved to LA because I thought I either got to go to LA or New York, and being a West Coast guy, I'm gonna feel more comfortable in the garment district in LA. So I moved out to LA and just kind of the school of hard knocks,
Yeah.
learn the garment business. And at the time, we couldn't come up with a name. We were trying to come up with a name and everything, and he was the one that said, John, I think we should call it Ashworth. And at first I was going, no way, I don't want to call it my last name. I don't think that's got a good sound to it. And
Well.
but he eventually talked me into it, and so we decided on Ashworth. And then I figured, we needed a logo. I thought at the time, I thought it'd be really cool to have a logo that went with what we're doing. And I had a buddy that knew a buddy, and he connected me with this graphic artist in LA. And I gave him a call. Barry Grimes, he ended up becoming one of my best friends, and he was our art director for 10 years, the whole time I was there. But the first conversation on the phone, I'm saying, hey Barry, yeah, this is John. I'm starting this golf clothing line, and I want to make it, kind of modern but timeless. And I like walking, carrying my clubs, and I just caddied on the tour, and I love Scotland and Lynx golf and blah blah blah. And I'm just kind of just downloading all this information to him, and on a no cell phones. This is a landline. This is 19, 1986, 87, and
The age of the beeper.
yeah, and it, I think it was even before the beeper. I don't think there was beepers yet.
Oh, I don't remember.
Anyway, so unbeknownst to me, he was actually drawing that golf man in that very first conversation.
Really?
Yeah, and he said, hey, when you come out to LA, let's go grab a cup of coffee and sit down. I got something I want to show you.
It's such a
Sure enough.
great logo. It's such a great logo.
Sure enough.
Timeless. It's timeless.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen probably at least 2 dozen tattoos of that, and I'd be willing to bet there's more like 100 people that have tattooed that on their body.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. All right, so folks, listen, we're gonna recap a little bit. We're talking with John Ashworth from, of course, Ashworth Golf Apparel, and we're talking a little bit about the history of not just John, but getting going into the garment industry to begin with. John went to U of A, you said. So Bear Down, Arizona, Bear Down. Yeah. I went to U of A also.
Oh, Bear Down.
Yeah, and then you got a degree in agronomy, you said. And I guess you didn't go the direction of being a superintendent, you said. And yeah. And then you grew up with Mark Wiebe and caddied for him. And then after that, you kind of bounced around a little bit and found a great partner. And then you ended up in L.A. in the garment industry. And now you have a logo. The name of the company is Ashworth Golf. Take us from there.
Yeah, so we, you know, cobbled together the first collection, and I kind of loaded it in the back of my car and just hit the road, went up and down the coast in California and saw pros that I knew and pros that I didn't know. And just, I think mostly they felt sorry for me, so they gave it a shot.
So you were the rep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You kind of did it, kind of wore all the hats when you started the company. And then... And then, you know, I'm the same age as Fred Couples and John Cook. John might be a year older, but I always had a big regard for those two specific guys, you know, played in college tournaments. And I didn't know them, but I'd see them. And I just, to me, they embodied kind of what I wanted to try to create and, you know, to be our little sort of like ambassadors, muses, if you will, on tour. And so I went and talked to both those guys individually and showed them what I was doing. And Jerry and I figured, you know, we didn't have any money, but we could give them a little piece of the company.
Okay.
So we brought them on the inside of the company, and they both, you know, they both said, yeah, this looks great. I'm in, you know. So kind of off we went with those two guys.
Isn't that great? Now you have television coverage.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and then so we started getting a little momentum and the stuff was selling good, which was always, you know, very, very important. And then, yeah, we had visibility with Fred and John. And then, of course, 1992, when Fred won the Masters, that just was kind of put gas on the fire a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and then Ernie Els was coming along, and Ernie, you know, he was playing in the British Open, I think it was 1992, and he was probably 20 years old or whatever. And I remember because we had already started, we set up a distributor in Europe, a guy named Paul Gilbert. And Paul calls me from over there and he goes, hey, John, there's this kid, Ernie Els. And I already knew who Ernie was. And I really, really loved him. And he goes, he's very interested. He wants to get some stuff. I go, give him whatever he wants.
Give him everything.
Give him whatever he wants. So then we put Ernie on board. And then, of course, he won the U.S. Open in 94. And, you know, and it was just the roaring 90s, I call it, because it was for us, we just went like a rocket ship. We went from like 0 to 100 million in 10 years. And that was, you know, no internet, no direct sales. It was all wholesale.
Unbelievable.
So it was quite a wild ride, you know. And
what happened after that?
Well, after that, you know, we became a public company in like 1990 just to raise money and kind of fuel our growth. And that was all well and good. But when you kind of hit a certain point, you start making decisions that aren't probably the best thing for the long term of the company. But Jerry and I think admittedly were kind of, you know, after 10, 11 years of pedaling really hard and fast, slightly burnt out, I would say. And needed a break, but yet we hired a guy that came in to help us run the company. And he and I didn't really see eye to eye that much on a lot of things. And and I started getting, I don't know if you could call it depressed, but I was not in a great place, you know. And I every year I'd go over to Scotland and spend a couple of weeks and play Lynx golf and kind of recharge the batteries, and I just loved it over there. And
that's where my great grandparents are from.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. And then
right there,
where were they from?
St. Andrews.
Okay. Wow.
Well, actually, I say St. Andrews. They were in the Kingdom of Fife, and that's where they were from. Not actually the old great town,
sure. Yeah.
But near.
Yeah. So I fell in love with it, and I found this piece of land that was right next to the home of the Honorable Company.
Mm-hmm.
That was there had been two Lynx golf courses that dated back in the 1800s that had disappeared. So I got this crazy idea. I kind of thought I was invincible at the time, and I thought, you know, I'm gonna try to, you know, bring these golf courses back. And then I went to the board of directors, and I go, you know what? If we could plant our flag in the ground next to the home of the Honorable Company, we can take this thing. It could be our global hub for golf.
Were they open to an American coming in?
Well, I mean, they were open to, you know, I mean, from what I understood, I mean, I was, did you ever play Gullen?
No.
Okay. Anyway, there's this hole on Gullen. It sits on top of this hill, and you can look over and see over Muirfield. It was right next to Muirfield.
Oh, okay.
And it was 1,000 acres on the coast.
Oh.
Beautiful Lynx land. And
wow.
And there had been two golf courses. And so it was zoned for golf, but nobody could unlock this whole thing. So, but anyway, the people at Ashworth thought I was crazy, and they said, no, we're not going to support that. And so I thought at the time, I just thought, well, I'm going to, I ended up resigning and taking on this project.
So at that point, you were no longer involved with Ashworth Golf?
No, I resigned in 1997.
Okay. And yeah. Then you went to Scotland, and what happened with building the courses?
Well, I ended up getting planning permission. It took me 2 years. I had to deal with all the local authorities and,
you know,
Tom Doakin to design a couple.
Oh, courses. Wow. Tom Doak, of course.
Yeah. And so we had everything on paper.
Fabulous designer.
I had to deal with this. There was a guy that lived on the property that was the Duke of Hamilton. He was the premier peer of Scotland. So if the Queen came to Scotland, he would be the one to come and do the whole pomp and circumstance and everything.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, and he was an okay guy, but it was just, you know, he had a big board of directors. So it was a very big undertaking. Anyway, got the planning permission. And then I was kind of stressed for getting the right investors and stuff. And I couldn't quite get the right money lined up. And, but I ended up going with this local guy that people warned me about, but I was like, I was running out of time. And anyway, long story short, this guy ended up kind of doing a number on me and sort of squeezed me out of the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah. It was kind
so
of
you
a
didn't get a chance to do
that. I didn't do what exactly I want to do, but kind of the cool thing is it all came down to earth.
Oh, good.
From that planning permission. So,
okay, good.
It's actually where they play the Scottish Open now. The
oh,
Renaissance. The
yes.
Renaissance. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So at least I know in my little heart that I unlocked that piece of land.
Where did you go after this project sort of squeezed you out? You said, what did you do after that?
I kind of came back with my tail between my legs because my goal was to live over there, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wife was all in. And anyway, I came back and sort of like was trying to figure out what to do next, honestly. And I wanted to go back to Ashworth. And but the guy that I told you that came in, he didn't really want me to come back. So I was kind of out on my own. And I went and talked to Bob McKnight at Quicksilver. You know, Quicksilver, the surf company.
Yes, of course.
So they're a big public company, and they wanted to grow through incubator brands. And I thought, you know what? There's still plenty of room for another brand. This is 2000. This was 1999. It was 2000.
Okay.
It was 2000, and he loved the idea of doing a brand that was kind of a golf surf mix, but not Quicksilver, to water that down. So there was this island and lighthouse off the coast of Scotland there called Fidra. And one of the golf courses that were on that piece of land originally was called Fidra. And the cool thing about it was designed by the local community, and each family would keep up the hole, take care of a hole, and it was free for the community.
Isn't that wonderful?
You know, that little town of Durlton, right? There's 600 people that live there or whatever. But so I love that idea. So we decided to name the brand Fidra. And I don't know if you remember that brand or not, but
I don't.
the unfortunate thing is it started right when 9/11 hit. So
Oh.
we kind of had to put it in reverse in the beginning.
Oh.
But we kind of made headway. Ernie Els was wearing it, Zach Johnson. We had a couple guys, and we were getting some serious momentum when, like, this was 3 years later, and Quiksilver made a big mistake. They bought the ski company Rossignol,
Yes.
and that sort of sent them into a tailspin, and they ended up kind of spinning off all these little brands. And I wasn't in a position to really buy it at the time, so they sold it to the Japanese distributor, and
Okay.
it's actually still a brand in Japan. If you're over
Fidra
there, you'll see it
is still a brand over there.
in Japan. Yeah.
So what happened after this? I want to get to
So after
you
that,
coming back.
yeah, no, well, after I came back to Ashworth in 2007 for a
And
brief.
what did you have the same owners at that time that you came back
No.
in?
They had finally kicked the guy out. He had kind of run it into the ground. Not run it into the ground, but it was a mess when I
Well,
came
it
back.
did disappear, and we all know that wore
But
Ashworth and played it.
it didn't really disappear until after Adidas bought it, though.
Well, and let's get through the quick Adidas part because that really catapulted you back. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the Adidas part was they bought it, and then they kind of, again, didn't do a great job with it. And when Adidas sold TaylorMade in 2009, I think it was 2019, to a private equity group, they didn't want Ashworth. So they ended up selling it to the Hong Kong based company that owned the, sorry, that was a distributor in Asia. So then when Eddie Fidel came back and got the licensing rights for America, he called me up and asked me to come back. So,
And that's when you
and
did.
here I
And
am.
here you are. My goodness gracious, here you are.
I'm
Now
here to,
let's talk a little bit about the now of Ashworth. So Ashworth comes back and you've come back in a quite a big way. You're building more and more momentum every day. I'm wearing Ashworth. We've got a great young player named Baron Botha on the Korn Ferry Tour that's wearing Ashworth, and there's a few others that I know you're looking at, John, on the tours, various tours to wear Ashworth. We won't talk about them yet. We'll let you come back on in a future show and give us some breaking news, as I call it. But tell me a little bit about how involved in Ashworth today are you? I know you're involved in the design of this great apparel line. I absolutely love it. And I'm not just saying that because I'm an ambassador wearing it as well, but I'm saying it because it truly is. These are great clothes, folks. And if you're not wearing Ashworth, well, you just need to get over to ashworthgolf.com and you need to
Hey, as a
find
matter of
out.
fact, Ray, I got a code for your listeners. It's Ray 30, RAY 30.
Oh, let me listen. Let me get that down and
And
I'll start using it.
that'll give them 30% off.
Oh my God. That's great. Okay,
Isn't
so
it?
John, how involved are you in this apparel now? You've got great shirts, amazing outerwear, the slacks are this is great for golf, but it also what I love about it's great for after golf. It's almost resort wear.
I like to think of it as kind of transitional. Like, it works for everything you do as a guy, you know. So, but yeah, no, I'm just here to support Andy. I'm here to support Eddie Fidel. I give my input on design and ideas, and I think hopefully a security blanket and can help, you know, if anybody wants to bounce ideas off you know, contacts and all that stuff. I mean, this week I went to an event out in Las Vegas that was a sectional. We sponsored a little sectional tournament and just kind of hung out with the guys. I like to listen to what people think and what people say and just give that feedback to the team.
Well, I know a lot of places I go wearing my Ashworth apparel, people will come to me and say, "Oh, Ashworth." And I say, "Ashworth is not only back, but the golf man is alive and he's been there all along. So you've got to go to ashworthgolf.com and find out more about it, folks, and get your Ashworth apparel." So I always do a little promotion there whenever people talk to me about it. John, where is Ashworth today? Are they healthy? Are they great? And are they coming up more and more and more?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, it's a very crowded marketplace, as you know.
Sure, there's golf shirts everywhere.
Yeah, there's stuff everywhere. But the brand, you know, has a heritage. You know, it's timeless. And it's, you know, there's the golf world and there's the real world. But I think we you know, we sit in the golf world, which we're very lucky to be able to do that. And just we're here for that world, you know.
Yeah.
We've got great backers, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come back, is because our main investor, main backer is a garment manufacturing and sourcing company that's got offices all over the world. So I'm, you know, we're really big on making just great quality gear.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes.
You know, and being fair on the price and being super good quality and standing
well,
for some.
And it's not just golf apparel as far as the shirts, the slacks, and the outerwear. If you go to the website, folks, you'll see that there's a lot of golf accessories there. I love your belts. They're made in the USA.
Yep.
But there's some other accessories. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, we're always on the lookout for, you know, collabing or doing, you know, different projects with all kinds of people. So we have some really great shoes on there right now. We have a bag hookup with Jones. And anyway, it's full on. It's fun, and it's great to be back, honestly.
Well, I'm excited for you that you are back. I'm excited for, of course, Ashworth Golf Apparel that you're back, and I'm excited to be a part of that, a small part, and wear this apparel everywhere I go, pretty much. And love to answer questions that the folks have out there. And of course, wearing it on camera and talking about it on this radio podcast show. And I'm excited for Ashworth. And tell us a little bit, give us a little breaking news. We have to have something from you. Anything new that we don't know about yet?
Oh, Ray, I could tell you, but then I have to kill you, right?
Oh, no. We got to have you back on for that, too.
Yeah.
Well,
Ray,
are you going to be able to introduce it at the PGA show next month?
Yeah, we'll have some great new stuff at the PGA show.
Okay, so then right after that show, I get to come on and talk all about it.
Yeah.
All right, so 1 month from now, folks, mark it down. You'll start hearing me talk about all this on the shows.
And you got to come out to Goat Hill Park, Ray.
I'm glad you brought it up. What are you doing with Goat Hill Park over in Oceanside?
Yeah, so,
tell us about it.
Well, hopefully a lot of your listeners will have heard about it, but we saved this little municipal golf course about 11 years ago. It's been around since 1952, and it was literally on death's doorstep because the city owns the land, and, you know, we were having water problems here, you know, with the drought and everything else. So they were trying to, you know, it's 75 acres in Oceanside, California with an ocean view. So, I mean, it's a $100 million piece of property.
What a beautiful place. I have not been there, and I'm over in that whole area all the time during the summer. So we will be out to play.
It's a hidden gem, I'm telling
you.
Why
don't we come out and film a television show
there? Let's do it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. We've got that figured out already.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's 18 holes. It's a short course, though, so you play it quickly.
It's par 65, but it's a real great test. You got to hit shots. but it's not long. Yeah, it doesn't take all day, you know. It's a very, I mean, the greens are great. It's very well kept. We've done a lot of work to it over the last decade. I mean, we've done a ton of work to it. It's got a lot of personality. We don't have a dress code. We're dog friendly. We play music around the clubhouse. It's just, I want it to be a place that people feel comfortable coming out. The vibe's really mellow. It's not like you're walking on eggshells. You know, we got a great driving range.
Great for the folks, no matter what the age of golf, no matter what your level of golf.
Yeah, no matter what you're like, although it is a hard golf course, but not that crazy hard. I mean, it's
Yeah, you
just,
can play the forward tees though, right? And
but
for the ladies, for the gentlemen,
yeah,
and for the kids, the
very
juniors.
very kid friendly. We got par three tees on every hole, but
Wonderful.
it is, you know, it's not a par three,
Right.
but yeah, and we're the home of the North County Junior Golf. We have a caddy and leadership academy.
Wow.
We're part of the WGA, Western Golf Association,
And
up in South.
Oceanside is such a beautiful community.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get there. And yeah, let's do that. Let's film some TV on at Goat Hill Park Golf Course in Oceanside, California. And you never know, there might be a John Ashworth sighting or other sightings around that area.
Absolutely.
All right, John, thank you so much for joining today. And I'll keep talking about it over and over again. And I'm going to start promoting Goat Hill Park Golf Course.
Ray, my pleasure and enjoyed it, and I look forward to seeing you at the show.
Yeah, we'll see you next month at the PGA Merchandise Show. And folks, make sure you go to ashworthgolf.com and look at this apparel.
And Ray 30 is the code.
Yes, Ray 30. If you plug in Ray 30, you're going to get a 30% discount. Are you kidding me? That's deep. You're going deep on that one.
Well, we like you, Ray.
Well, thank you so much. I love you guys too. And see you next month. Thank you so much. John Ashworth joining the show today.
Thanks, Ray. See you, buddy.
Folks, I want to thank you very much for joining today. What a great show with Dr. Bob helping us recap everything. Lots of things coming in the world of golf this weekend. Make sure you stay with it. And then we'll be back on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show day after tomorrow. And of course, well, what a classic interview with John Ashworth. And thank you for listening, folks. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe out there. Make sure you hydrate. Wear that sunscreen. I say it almost every show now. I had to learn the hard way about the sunscreen. And you have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And back with you in a couple days for Monday Golf Lifestyles.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.